One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do it yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
All right, so Matt, have you heard the joke about silence?
No.
Yeah, me either.
How apropos.
Right?
Good, good.
Everybody, and welcome to the graveyard. Thank you for joining us tonight. My name is Adam.
And my name's Matt.
Now, pull up a tombstone or settle into your casket and get comfortable, because this is Graveyard Tales.
All right, everybody, here we are again. Real quick, wanted to tell everybody, like we always do, go check out Podbelly.com, the Podbelly Network. You can find a lot of shows that you might not have found otherwise, and you can find a lot of information about starting your own podcast if you would like to do that. It's a very helpful site. Go check them out, Podbelly.com. Now, we have another See Alive show coming up Saturday, March 7th. It's 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. So we're hoping by a change in what day of the week and the time a little bit that more of y'all will be able to join.
Yeah.
So Saturday, March 7th, 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. and that's Central Standard Time. And we're going to go over all the shows that we've talked about since the last live show up until that point.
Yeah. So you ask, we deliver.
Right.
Want it on a different day? We did it. Want it at a later day, a later time? We did it. So. Right. You have no excuse to not right. join us.
Don't ask crazy things, because we might not be able to deliver on those. But
yeah, it's Saturday night. And we're talking about stuff we've already talked about. So I may have an adult beverage. Y'all,
yeah,
you might as well tune in. It may get a little crazy.
We've only got an hour and a half, Matt, so it can't get too crazy. So another live show that we've got coming up, this one will be in-person live show, is going to be July 18th in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. You can get tickets on our website. We're going to be doing it with Hillbilly Horror Stories. It's their show, and they invited us along, so we said, heck yeah, we're going to be there.
Yeah, and we can when we're done, we can all go play the haunted mini golf.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And I don't know if it'll be open, but I know in Gatlinburg, they're opening a new ride or something that
just,
should be open
just
by
a ride.
Then. Yeah, one of the rides that they do in downtown Gatlinburg. So after you listen to us, you can go over there and check that out and make a weekend of it.
Is it haunted? Is it a haunted ride?
And give it a few years and it might be.
It ain't no count. I ain't getting on it.
All right, Matt. So we'll get out of this housekeeping business here. And why don't you tell us what we're talking about tonight, brother?
Okay, so tonight we're talking about... Yeah, you guessed it. The Zone of Silence. The Zone of Silence in Mexico. And I'm gonna let Adam say it in Spanish, because I will destroy it.
Zona de Silencio.
Hey, there you go. See, he's only been in Texas for about 8 months, and he's already can speak in Spanish like a native.
Yeah. I was born here. I should be able to.
You come to Tennessee and you lose all that.
That's a valid point. I did lose a lot of it moving up there.
But yeah, we're talking about this area that's right on the edge of the state of Chihuahua.
Well done.
It is. I mean, essentially, it looks like a desert. I mean, and it's just this rough terrain. It's really not inhabitable other than, you know, some ranchers and things like that. But it has some really strange anomalies that occur there with, you know, magnetic interference with radios and cell phones. And it's got UFOs.
Weird people.
I mean, it's just a lot of weird stuff. And nobody's really taken a look at it. And we're going to talk about it tonight and let you decide if anybody should be. There's a lot of folks that believe this is just a bunch of baloney. There's a lot of people that think this is a geological anomaly that needs to be studied. So you can tell us what you think. So, Adam, tell us a little bit about the zone of silence.
All right. So like Matt said, we talk about a lot of weird anomalies around the world. And if everything that has been said about the zona de silencio is true, then this is probably one of the stranger ones that we've talked about. And it's not far from Bolson de Mapimi in Mexico. There's about a 50-kilometer area of desert that has been given this name, the Zone of Silence. Now, it lies in the Trino Vertex, and this is where the Chihuahua, Durango, Coahuila states meet, roughly 400 miles south of El Paso, Texas. There's a big prominent mountain range that runs on the east side of this zone, so it kind of blocks it in a little bit. And on an interesting note, the zone of silence is near longitudinally parallel with the Egyptian pyramids on the Giza Plateau, the Bermuda Triangle, and sacred cities in Tibet. And it's located just north of the Tropic of Cancer, between 25 degrees and 29 degrees north. So what does that sound like? That sounds like our last SIA show.
That's right. Yeah, all these places are lined up. Now, it doesn't fall along that line that we discussed.
Right.
But that area between the 26th and 28th parallel is... It's loaded with oddities, you know, ancient ruins, anomalies like the Zone of Silence and the Bermuda Triangle. So when anything falls in that area all the way around the globe, people kind of take notice of anything peculiar that happens there.
Right. It's a lot like, you know, the 37th parallel.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean... But when you look at those kind of connections like we did on our See You Live show, you begin to wonder, why? You know, are we making something out of nothing? Or is there a reason that these places would line up so well? I mean,
right.
You know, we're not going to dig into that. We've already done that.
Right.
But this is just another one of those places that's just, it's out of sorts. Again, if all the stories are true.
Right. And why would a region of Mexican wasteland that is this remote fall along that thing and have such weird activity?
Yeah.
You know, we'll maybe talk about this a little bit later, but I had to throw this in. If we were to do full on excavation of this, would we find another buried ruin of a city or inhabitation of that area that we don't know about yet, but it could be an ancient civilization that was taking advantage of whatever oddities are happening in this zone?
Yeah.
Well, it, like I said, it's very remote, and the closest urban settlement Caballos is about 25 miles away. Now, residents of the surrounding towns have been aware of these strange legends that go around in the zone for quite a while. But some of the first rumors that purportedly began in the 1930s were after the pilot Francisco Sarabia once had to make an emergency landing due to, quote, radio anomalies. And we'll have a picture of Francisco at the next See Alive show if you want to see what he looks like. Now, Sarabia was airborne over the region when he began to notice that his instruments were acting oddly. This wasn't the only problem, though, that he was facing, because his radio equipment also started to fail and then just completely stopped working altogether. And he said it was something that was interfering with the normal operations of his aircraft. So that sounds a lot like what you hear with the Bermuda Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been called the Bermuda Triangle of Mexico before.
Yeah.
So it's pretty odd. And Matt, he's not the only pilot that had issues, was he?
No. There was an organic chemist named Harry de la Pena, and he documented the zone's characteristics of creating this dark zone, as he called it, with radio communications back in 1966. Now, he was on a photographic survey, and while he was out exploring, he noticed that the walkie-talkies quit working in that area, and he said the portable radios that they had would only work with a very diminished volume. You know, even when they turned it all the way up, they could barely hear it.
Right.
And they later found out that television signals wouldn't go through the zone of silence. And even now, people will say that television doesn't work in the zone of silence. Of course, if you look at pictures of this place, you're like, man, cable hadn't gotten there yet. So.
Yeah, right. Right. I was going to say, which is, you know, not really odd when you think about how we get our TV now.
Even with an antenna, you got to be close enough to a tower.
Right.
Who's going to put a TV tower out there, you know?
Right. Out in this wasteland desert, you know?
Yeah. Fox News is going to go out there and plant a tower in the middle of this place.
Yeah, right.
Like, hey, okay.
Right. Well, the first people that do will make a killing. Wait, no, they won't. There's nobody out there.
There's nobody there.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of weird things that have hit out of the sky in the zone of silence. And one of those was during the Cold War, the White Sands Missile Base in New Mexico had been conducting a series of tests using an Athena RTV, a re-entry test vehicle rocket. Now, the missions were a joint task between the USAF and the U.S. Army, and they're designed to investigate the impacts of missiles as a result of re-entry into the atmosphere. So it was important work if we were going to go to space and come back, and mm-hmm. we needed to figure out how things were going to land.
Yeah.
Well, July 11th, 1970, the Athena RTV V-123D rocket launched from Green River Complex in Utah. Now, the last stage of this rocket was carrying a capsule of radioactive cobalt-57, which, not a good plan anyway, to be shooting off a rocket with radioactive cobalt.
But they had a reason for that.
Yeah. It was supposed to drop in the deserts of White Sands, New Mexico.
Well, the reason that they had the cobalt 57 on there is they wanted to see how much of the sample degraded upon reentry. You know,
sure.
So my thought is they're not necessarily testing about coming back from space. They're testing about how much degrading a nuclear warhead would undergo,
yeah,
while it's
exactly
coming down.
Exactly. So how much extra would we have to put in there, yeah, for it to make it to its destination?
Exactly. That, to me, that's what they were looking for. But that's why it was on there. There are some stories that say that it was a dirty bomb, and it wasn't a dirty bomb. I mean, it was a sample. If it was a dirty bomb, why the hell would they shoot it out in the middle of White Sands, New Mexico?
Yeah, and there's people out there.
Right. You know, on their own people. Hey, we're going to test this dirty bomb. You know, then I guess there's people going, oh, well, they weren't. That was a lie, and they were shooting it to Mexico to begin with. Again, why?
Yeah.
You know, if it was a successful test and they shot a dirty bomb in the middle of a desert with no people, what are they going to learn? So I don't believe any of that, but I do believe that it was, you know, let's see how much of this is going to, you know, how much do we have to load, you know, to wipe out, you know, a city, you know,
right.
And, you know, how much are we going to lose in the travel of this rocket when it reenters the atmosphere? But what was really funny to me is that this is not uncommon. They had been doing this for a while, launching, you know, out of Utah into Mexico. It was like they were, you know, it was like target practice. I'm like,
pretty much.
How many people were these missiles flying over?
That if it had failed.
Yeah. If something went wrong, they'd have been like, oops.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of failing, this rocket did develop a fault. But luckily for everybody that was under it, like Matt was saying, that it could have landed on, it actually overshot the destination by 500 miles.
Yeah.
So it ended up crashing into the zone of silence, which is about 500 miles south of the border.
Yeah.
It did develop a fault. There was a problem, but, you know, it was drawn to what some theorists say. It was drawn to the zone of silence.
Pulled it there.
Right.
Which brings up another question. If a missile crashes in the desert and no one's around to hear it, does it really make a sound?
I'm going to say yes. I've interviewed a few coyotes that I haven't told you about. And they say, yes, it does. And thanks to the radioactive cobalt 50, their kids now have six legs.
Six-legged coyotes. A mystery of the zone of silence. I bet they're fast.
Oh, yeah. There are no roadrunners in that part of the Mexican desert. So,
you know, on a tangent, I read a thing earlier this week that said the actual land speed of, like, the roadrunner and the coyote, like, the coyote would be eating these things left and right. There's no way this roadrunner was able to outrun this coyote.
Right. Like, they just looked faster.
Well,
so
when you're, you know, big blue and purple bird that can spin his legs around like racing wheels.
Right.
Why not?
Meep, meep.
All right. Tangent over. Right,
back to it. So when the U.S. government actually requested permission to enter this area and retrieve the debris, the Mexican government actually said, yes, please get your crap out of our land. That's not exactly what they said. But,
our ball went over the fence.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we come in your yard and get it?
Exactly. So the U.S. government, quote, worked quickly and covertly to secure the area and begin a search for their radioactive capsule. Now, when the retrieval team entered the site, they supposedly real quickly realized that something was affecting all of their communications. And, you know, without these communications, they couldn't coordinate between the teams very well. So they were kind of getting lost in the Mexican desert there. But they realized here again, like Matt was saying, that television and satellite signals were experiencing disruptions in that area. So again, I mean, you're out in the middle of the desert with, you know, the closest city being like 25 miles away. So the television and satellite signals probably aren't going to be the best.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Well, it took quite a few weeks, but the U.S. government found the capsule so quickly quickly was a few weeks.
Quickly. Yeah. 1970,
Yeah. Well, they were taking it as a vacation.
Didn't have a GPS tracker. But
Right.
While we're down here, we're going to poke around, see what else we find.
Right. They supposedly conducted a thorough, quote-unquote, radioactive cleanup of the entire area, which ended up being about 20 tons of radioactive soil, including plants that were removed and deposited in White Sands Desert. So let's just dump radioactive stuff in White Sands, New Mexico.
Yeah, I ain't going there.
Yeah, I've been there as a kid. Maybe that's what's wrong with me.
You have a glow about you, Adam.
Yeah, right? It's kind of a green glow like Mr. Burns. So while they were down there, you know, they noticed all these weird things, and they kind of alerted the Mexican government of it. So research since that point has been done in the Zone of Silence. And the Mexican government has actually constructed a research complex that they say is studying unusual local habitat and wildlife. And after I read this quote, Matt and I are going to talk about this for a second. Now, quote, the environment of the area is unique and has its own species. 31 species of endemic plants, such as certain species of cactus, and 75 species of protected animals, given the paleontological and pre-Hispanic past of the region. In 1979, the area was declared part of the Mapimi-Bolson Biosphere Reserve, and a laboratory had been built next to Cerro San Ignacio the previous year, said Dr. Samuel Banda. Now, here's the problem with that. That you can't find what those actual species are, the endemic species. So I don't know how you can say you have endemic species there that you can't find anywhere else and not be able to prove it by showing pictures or even a description of the thing in some science magazine or journal.
Right. And I was able to find pictures of the purple pear cactus that grows there. The reason I could find pictures of the purple pear cactus is because you can buy them, you know, everywhere.
On Amazon.
You can get them on eBay. Yeah. I mean, I could have ordered, and I thought they were cool. We have cacti at the house. I thought they were cool. I was telling Amanda, hey, we need to order one of these. I can get this one for $12.
Yeah. Right.
You know, here it is, this bright purple cactus. Well, it's cool, but I don't really see where it's somehow magically purple because it's in the Zone of Silence.
You know, how
they're everywhere. How
Jeff Bezos went down there and collected it personally to put on Amazon.
He's down there wearing one of them hats. Looks like the mural you find in Mexican restaurants where they're harvesting the agave. Mm-hmm. He's got that big old spade shovel that he's digging.
Yep. Harvesting purple pear cactuses.
Got a little kerchief around his neck.
He's like, this will go great on Amazon.
But Adam's right. The animals, like, you know, the foot-long centipedes with a purple head and a purple stinger, you don't really find any pictures of that. I don't have any pictures of six-legged coyotes. You know, the Mapimi tortoise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's there. I mean, you can find a picture of it. There's really nothing that says it's indigenous to that area. It doesn't necessarily, it's not odd in any way. It's just a particular species of tortoise.
There's a lot of tortoises that are indigenous to different areas of the world.
Right.
It's not so special.
I don't see, and you know, we hunted. In fact, I spent, you know, probably the entire last part of my research looking for some evidence of this, and it's just not out there. I mean, you know, if you go hunting real deep, you might be able to find some picture, but if you're only finding one, there's a really good chance that it's not authentic.
Right. You know? Right. It needs to be backed up with verification and stuff like that for you to say, yeah, this is truly an endemic species of this area. And, you know, I can't find this in the rest of Mexico.
But you hear that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
You know, oh, there's so many weird creatures there. Okay.
Yeah. Prove it.
Show me one.
Right.
You know, you've obviously seen something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I you know, what are the unicorns down there? You know, stuff like that. That's what I want to know. But it doesn't seem like that's all that factual, you know.
Now, it's probably a urban legend that has been blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
And now it just gets repeated in, you know, online discussions about the Zone of Silence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, theorists also, along with these weird endemic species that don't exist, theorists also speculate that the government is studying more than it's actually admitting, because there's plenty of anomalies to research in the zone, quote unquote. One of the many unusual observable properties in this area is its high levels of magnetite and uranium deposits that scientists attribute electromagnetic pulses that are said to be the source of the disrupted signals. Now, I'll give you that, because one of the theories about the Bermuda Triangle is that several of the islands around there have high magnetite deposits in the soil. So it will throw off compasses.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you get enough in an area, it can emit an electromagnetic field far enough to disrupt electronic equipment and whatnot. But unless we're talking about high, like really high quantities of magnetite and uranium, then I don't think it's going to be that big of a thing. Because one of the things they're talking about that Matt's going to tell you about is stuff coming from higher than a airplane being pulled to that area.
Right, right.
So that would have to be a lot of magnetite.
And one of the strangest things about the Zone of Silence is, and this magnetic field that they keep talking about, is that it moves around according to the believers, and its exact location keeps shifting, and there's no real way to predict it. Now, the believers will say this is why you can get a cell phone signal down there. This is why your radio may work and why your compass may seem unaffected is because it's moving. It's constantly moving. It's also why they can't plot it on a vector map of the magnetic fields, which you can go, you can look, mm-hmm. you can download a map of a vector map of the magnetic fields of the Earth, and it will show you, it uses little arrows to kind of show you the direction.
I've actually done that for several of our episodes. And look. Believe it or not, that's one of the things I look at, see if there's high, weird magnetic things there.
But, you know, skeptics really say that this is a convenient way for people to purport this urban legend,
mm-hmm.
you know, by saying, oh, well, it's moving. It's, you know, it's not stationary.
Right.
Well, okay, you know, well, when's it coming back?
Yeah.
You know.
But, how long till do I have to sit here till it comes back to me?
Yeah. And Adam made a really good point. You know, if we're talking about things like uranium and magnetite, iron, all of these things that would affect the magnetic field, that has to be huge.
Sure.
I mean, it's got to be powerful, and which, you know, would be measurable for it to affect, you know, not only, you know, a compass or something on the ground, but radio equipment and navigational equipment in the air. I mean,
500 miles away for that one rocket, the Athena, it would have to reach at least 500 miles.
And as we get into this, you're going to hear some people even speculate that it's so powerful that it's, like Adam said, it's sucking stuff from space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's attracting stuff from space, you know, to come, you know. And we're going to talk more about it, but there's, when you talk to the people that buy into this, they have this idea that there is an unusual amount of meteorites that hit in this area because of this magnetic presence. And it's just pulling them there, just like it did with the Athena rocket.
Right.
Pulled it there. I'm like,
turn then adds more iron to your area. If that's a theory you're going, then it's pulling meteors, which would have to be, miles and miles up into space to be able to direct it to that one spot. It would have to go ahead and grab a hold of it and be strong enough to pull it down. And even a rare earth magnet can't do that. And rare earth magnets can do everything.
Okay, Adam, let's take a minute and talk about HelloFresh. Now, HelloFresh is a meal delivery service where you can get mouthwatering seasonal recipes with pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door. It's America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh makes cooking at home fun, easy, and affordable. And HelloFresh's recipes are so delicious. So break out of your dinner rut with HelloFresh's 22-plus seasonal chef-curated recipes each week. And HelloFresh helps you save time. HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning and prep so that you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes or even 20 minutes with their quick recipe option.
That's right. And that's one of the coolest things for me about doing it is, we're able to get dinner on the table really quick. And Michael is actually able to help out because it's easy recipe. So he's able to get in there and help us mix stuff and prep some of the things. And so that makes it a little more fun for him. And I hate going to the store. I did that today. I hate going grocery shopping. And you don't have to with this because, like Matt said, it's delivered right to your door. And the cool thing is HelloFresh is flexible and it actually fits your lifestyle. You can add extra meals or lunches to your weekly order, or you can throw in sides and desserts like garlic bread or cookie dough if you feel like it. There's many ways that you can easily change your delivery days and food preferences too. You can skip a week whenever you need to. If you're going out of town and you're like, hey, I can't get a meal delivery this week, so I'm going to. And apparently the puppy really likes HelloFresh too because he's chiming in. So while he's chiming in about it, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if you go to HelloFresh.com/Graveyard10 and you use our code Graveyard10, you can get 10 free meals, including free shipping.
That's right. So Graveyard tells listeners can go to HelloFresh.com/Graveyard10 and use the promo code Graveyard10 to get 10 free meals, including free shipping. This concentration of these meteor strikes, they say that there's almost a small meteor hitting that area daily. Okay. But the fact is debated because a lot of researchers will say that there's no more meteors here than anywhere else in the world. Now, in truth, one of the largest known meteors to ever hit the Earth crashed into the ground here at a place called Pueblito de Allende. See, I told you my Spanish sucks. I learned Spanish from watching Sesame Street. But it hit in February of 1969, and it's now called the Allende meteorite. It came down at an estimated speed of 10 miles per second and created a shock wave and a boom that was heard over a huge distance. And it's one of the loudest sounds ever recorded. How did they know to hit record?
Right.
I couldn't get the DJ when I was a kid to shut up and I could hit record to get that song that I wanted. Mm-hmm. But these guys actually managed to record a meteor traveling at 10 miles per second hitting the Earth. But the witnesses of that meteor strike said that the flash produced, it was like staring directly into a flashbulb.
Jeez.
But there was a meteorite that crashed into in Chihuahua in the late 1950s, and it contained crystalline structures that researchers said outdate the solar system itself. How in the world can you
that
calculate
is wild.
That? But researcher Luis Medea Villalobos concluded that this meteorite contained material he quoted as old as the universe. Now, our solar system is estimated to be about 6 billion years old.
Mm-hmm.
The meteorite's age was estimated to be 13 billion years old.
Wow. Now, it's been traveling a long time.
Yeah, there are constant falls of small metallic orbs in this area, and the locals call these things guijolas. So, you know, there are meteor showers that happen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we're talking about almost a daily shower of space material.
Right.
Hitting this area. And this is where some people theorize that aliens did something in this area. You know, with the UFO sightings, there's this idea that aliens visited this area years ago, like centuries ago. And there's something there that they left behind that causes this. And some people even have speculated that it's some type of alien portal. And that's mm-hmm. why it gets all this meteor activity. But magnetic anomalies like you find in the zone of silence have long been associated with UFO activity. And this whole idea of ancient astronauts, did alien beings, you know, build the pyramids or at minimum teach ancient Egyptians how to do it.
Right.
Machu Picchu, you know, built with the assistance of aliens. You know, that there's theories there, and Adam and I have talked about that before. But those that say this is what's going on, or they have this idea that aliens, you know, did something that caused this, they point out that because it's near the Tropic of Cancer and it lies in between the 26th and 28th parallel, and it lies in connection to the Bermuda Triangle and the pyramids in Egypt, that all of these things are connected, and that common denominator is alien intervention.
Sure.
So, okay. Now, there is one thing odd that's in the zone of silence, and I looked for pictures of this, Adam, and I couldn't find them. There's ancient ruins that are there. And some people call it the Mexican Stonehenge.
Yeah. And they couldn't find them either.
They have no idea what it is. They can't determine how old they are. But they seem to believe that it was some type of astronomical observatory, you know, thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
Again, when it comes to talking about the zone of silence, you see a lot of reaching. They really take what they believe to understand about so many other places around the globe and just kind of infer it upon the zone of silence without near as much evidence as they have with other places. I mean, you know, it might be a good thing for, you know, you'd have seen the See You Live show to catch what we're talking about. But in a nutshell, you know, this idea that Stonehenge was connected to the stars and the pyramids at Giza were connected to the stars. They're taking what they understand about those places, or at least what they think they understand. And they're just applying it here. And,
right.
You know, it's funny. I had a conversation earlier this week with a lady that actually works with a paleontologist. And we were discussing the Sia show, and she knew everything before I said it and was just rattling off. Oh, did you talk about this? Did you talk about, the ancient Mayans? And did you talk about, Chichen Itza and all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I said, we're about to do a show about the Zone of Silence. And she goes, I've not heard of that.
Yeah.
And this lady just got back from Mexico.
Right. So you have to take something like that and go, if someone that knows all this doesn't know about that, is there really, really something going on here that we can pinpoint?
So, you know, Adam's right. Does it really exist at all? But scientists will dispute that there's any magnetic anomaly here at all. And they kind of indicate that if there was a significant magnetic field, it wouldn't necessarily cause a compass to spin. It would not move. You know, compasses don't just spin unless you've got like a magnet like in your hand sitting underneath it. Or if you've got a magnetized object, like, you know, something around your wrist or a ring or something like that will cause it to do that. But like a magnetic field anomaly on the Earth isn't going to make your compass spin. It's going to make it not work.
Point to that object rather than magnetic north.
Exactly. So scientists will say if you see somebody show you a spinning compass, they're showing you a magic trick. Okay? You know, it's a gimmick, you know, just to kind of do the ooh, you know. But they also claim that iron meteors, the idea that iron meteors cause the magnetic anomaly isn't true either. And the Allende meteorite, which I mentioned earlier, it's composed of CV3 carbonaceous chondrite, and it's the largest one ever discovered, but it's not magnetic. And the Chupaderos meteorite, it weighs in at just over 24 tons, and it's made of solid iron. But it's also 80 miles away from Mapimi.
Right.
So it's doubtful that meteorite would cause such an anomaly. And, you know, that's kind of how scientists begin to dismiss this idea that all these meteorites are attracted to this area. And, you know, we're going to talk more about this in a minute, but this is not the only strange stuff. I mean, this is just a lot of the stuff that, like Adam and I said, there's not a lot of evidence to support it, but people really buy into it. And this is the easy stuff for the scientists to go, aha. Look, it doesn't work. You know, look at that guy over there. He's talking on his cell phone.
Yeah.
There have been weird encounters within this zone of silence. And people have reported seeing these people that are out of place for a number of reasons. And the most common story is that people will encounter these three blonde-haired strangers that are seen just wandering the landscape for no good reason. But allegedly, they say that this trio is made up of two males, one female. They're dressed in clothes that are inappropriate for the desert environment. And the people who have...
So, bikinis?
Yeah.
Are they wearing bikinis? Well,
that would be more appropriate.
Oh.
I think they're probably wearing, like, you know...
Suits and ties?
Suits and ties or slacks or, you know, a golf shirt. What are you doing out here? Right. I lost my ball.
Patent leather shoes. And
yeah. They just don't fit. And the people that have actually met and conversed with them say that they're physically attractive. They're very polite. And they speak perfect Spanish. Say that
well
three
put. You use your words good, Matt.
How many times am I going to do that on this show? It's going to be like we're going to have like a running list one day of all the things that I've said backwards.
Yeah, but it'll be fun.
They speak perfect Spanish, and sometimes they say these strangers will ask ranchers for water, but they never ask for food or anything else.
I don't want food when I'm hot.
And right. When people ask them where they're from, the answer they give is from above. All right.
Yeah.
Can't get any more vague than that, can
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Do you fall out of an airplane? Or?
Yeah. But whoever these people are, whatever they are, they're said to be non-threatening. And in fact, they seem to be pretty benevolent. In fact, one scientist who worked at the Biosphere Research Station in Mapimi said he went out exploring and he got lost. It's desert, folks. You can get lost in the desert.
And if your compass doesn't work,
that's right.
If your compass is spinning in circles, then
then you're stuck. Right. So he said he was approached by three tall blonde humanoids. Who says that? They were humanoids. He thought they were just weird people out in the desert. I guarantee it. Who guided him back to the research station before they just vanished. Now, interestingly enough, the biosphere itself has a reputation, as Adam mentioned, for maybe not always opening up about what they're really doing in there.
Yep.
And that they may be researching something a lot stranger than what they own up to.
But that's not unique to this area either. That's most government-run facilities.
True, true. But a lot of people believe that they're doing secret experiments on animals, researching UFOs, and conducting psychic research. Okay, maybe they are, but I don't know. There's no evidence of that either. But this particular scientist claims that he met these three people out in the desert, and they guided him back to the biosphere. Okay?
So they have a good knowledge of that area then, yeah. if they're going to guide him back.
Well, all they do is walk around in it, apparently. Yeah. So they should know where everything is.
That reminds me of the movie Biodome. You remember the movie Biodome?
I've thought about Pauly Shore every time I see the word biosphere when I've been doing this.
Yeah. Yeah, when I saw biosphere, that was the first thing I thought of was Pauly Shore and them like bungee jumping in the biodome and all that.
Who was the other guy in that? Was it Owen Wilson?
No, it was other guy number one.
Other guy number one.
He wasn't important enough for me to remember. You know, we're gonna get hate mail because I just said that somebody's gonna love him and love that movie.
He's somebody's cousin.
Yeah, right.
He should have gotten nominated for an Oscar. It's the greatest performance ever.
Right.
If you're in a movie with Pauly Shore, you're not getting nominated for an Oscar, period.
No, no. People won't even remember your name because you were in a movie with Pauly Shore.
If you're doing Shakespeare in the Park and Pauly Shore is, you know, Lady Macbeth, you're sunk.
All right. Now, there was a report made in October of 1975 that kind of helped, I guess, further the weirdness in the zone. There was fossil hunters Ernesto and Josefina Diaz that were in the zone to collect samples and unusual rocks and whatever else that they could find. And while they were working, they saw a rainstorm blowing up and heading toward them. And if you've ever been, you know, out in the desert and see a storm, you know, they can get pretty violent.
Mm-hmm.
So fortunately for the couple, though, they noticed it in time and were able to take action to avoid being caught in a flash flood. But they were a little bit too late to completely avoid any problems with it. So they didn't die, but they jumped in their truck and they were trying to outrun the storm, but they couldn't. So the ground around their pickup started to, you know, turn into just a swamp area from all this dumping rain and in the sand and all that. So their truck actually got stranded and they were stuck inside there. And while they were stuck inside there trying to figure their way out, two men that had, quote, above average height approached the vehicle and its occupants. Now they offered the trapped couple, they offered to free them. And both rescuers apparently wore identical clothing, which was a yellow raincoat and a cap. And as quickly as the pair showed up, the Diaz truck somehow made its way onto firm ground and out of danger. So,
all right.
Don't know how they did it. They pushed it or some way they got the Diaz's truck up onto solid ground. Now, Ernesto ignored the instructions to remain inside the truck and wanted to personally thank them for their efforts. But whoever these men were vanished without leaving behind a single footprint in the mud. So they somehow got the truck out of the boggy, muddy, sandy ground up onto dry land without the Diaz's knowing how. And then they couldn't find any evidence of the yellow raincoat and capped people. But they did apparently speak fluent Spanish like the natives. So it wasn't like they were, you know, trying to translate or anything. They spoke fluent Spanish that Diaz and his wife could understand.
Yeah, I mean, that's, if you believe Ernesto, you know, that's a really weird experience there. But it's not the only one. I mean, these things keep popping up.
Right.
A journalist named Luis Ramirez Reyes, he visited the zone in November of 1978 as part of a news team that was covering the mysteries of the area, and he encountered the blonde strangers. Now, at the time, their destination was this mysterious biosphere. They needed to get Pauly Shore's autograph. But Reyes and his photographer got lost in the desert on their way. That I keep hearing, this terrifies me. These people they're going to the desert and they get lost. I guarantee you, if I know that I'm going to the desert, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that I don't get
lost. No kidding.
Now, they did not bring food or water. Again, bad idea.
Right.
And so they were beginning to get a little bit worried. So as they drove along, Reyes saw a group of three figures walking up ahead, and he told his photographer, who was the driver, to stop and see if they could ask for directions. Okay.
Probably not a bad plan, really.
Not a bad plan. But again, you got to think, why are these people out here?
Yeah.
But the photographer didn't see anyone, so he kept driving. They continued and had gotten a pretty good distance on down the road when the truck passed the same three people again. And so this time Reyes has insisted that they stop, but the driver still didn't see anybody. So Reyes claims that he asked the strangers if they had seen a truck like theirs pass earlier, but they said they hadn't. And it was at this point that Reyes noticed that the people weren't dressed or equipped at all for all the harsh desert environment. Much like himself, right. Apparently.
Right. That throwing stones in a glass house, mister.
Yeah. And despite the fact that they were out there in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. So he asked them where the biosphere was, and these strange people were happy to help. And they pointed the journalists in the right direction. And when they got to the biosphere, they told the staff member there, hey, we met these people out here that told us how to get here. And the biosphere people said, listen, man, there ain't nobody around here for hundreds of miles but us. We're the only people out here. So we don't know who you ran into, but they ain't from
Mirage
here.
Mirage people.
It could be. And the fact that, as the story goes, Reyes was the only one that could see, you know, maybe he was, you know, maybe he saw a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, right.
You know, maybe he was, you know, he didn't have any food or water. Maybe he was seeing like an oasis, yeah. You know, with a camel, you know, and you
could
know,
be.
Starts hearing the song. Midnight at the Oasis.
I'd run, you know, if like, I heard that. All right, I would run.
Look at these three good-looking people. You know, they're going to tell me how to get to this crazy Pauly Shore biosphere. Right. I don't know. But the photographer never saw him. Reyes did. And they got him to the biosphere. But that's where he learned, hey, there ain't nobody else out here, brother. It's just us. Nobody else wants to be here. There was one other strange encounter I found. It was from a guy named Ruben Lopez. who said he was on his way to visit a relative in Ceballos when his engine began to sputter and stall. He noticed five small figures about, he says, maybe several feet tall that he thought were children. And he looked at them a little bit closer, and he could see that they were wearing little silver outfits and helmets that opened in the front. But he says their faces were clearly adults, but not children like he thought.
Mm-hmm.
So they started coming towards his truck, and he kind of freaked out, as probably anybody would.
Yep.
So he said he gunned the engine until the engine got up enough that he could speed his way out of there and just leave them in the dust. And he says as soon as these little people were out of sight, the truck began to work normally again. So these little tiny aliens in little tiny spacesuits.
It's magnetic people throwing off the electronics in the truck.
You can see why we're laughing at a lot of this. It just seems so bizarre. And Lord knows, Adam and I have talked about some bizarre stuff, but some of this is hard to swallow.
Yeah. This stuff doesn't have enough to back it up that Matt and I can go, yeah, it sounds wild and it sounds crazy, but it could be plausible.
Yeah. So,
you know, these are just anecdotes, and you know, science has looked into some of it and debunked some of it. So
these weird zones of silence are not exclusive to this region of Mexico. There are other places like this around the world. They're just not as well known. You know, strange anomalies, you know, and I'm not even referring to the Bermuda Triangle, but strange anomalies that occur only in one particular area. You know, whether it's bizarre weather patterns or, you know, communication problems, and some of them can be explained because of, you know, their position on the globe or solar flares.
The world is weird, so there is going to be a lot of weird areas that like that. But you can prove just seems, things.
Yeah, this one just seems so out of place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it would be, you know, right here in, you know, North America.
Well,
it just doesn't fit. It's not, I mean, the population around it, just, it doesn't make sense that it would be here. And it may very well be this way. Maybe it's faded over time. Maybe today it's not what it was in the 50s and 60s. It's hard to really say because, again, it doesn't seem like anybody's really researching it.
Right. And, you know, that really the last thing I have on it, my thoughts about it, is that this could very well be one of many, like we were just talking about, places in the world that does have a weird electromagnetic field around it or some weirdness in the Earth's magnetic field that causes some disruptions in cell signal. I had one in my old house. If you went to the back of the house, you couldn't get a cell signal.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are places like that. So this could be one of those places that has these weird anomalies like that, but it has been hyped up so much over the years,
right,
that now when people look into the zone of silence, it's this alien world in the middle of Mexico that has weird animals and plants, and there's these three people that live there, but they actually say they're from above. And you know, it's just, I think it's been blown out of proportion. I think there is some weirdness, some natural geographical weirdness that probably goes on there, but it's not as crazy as people make it out to be.
And you know, in this area and including the ranchers and the little townships that are around this area, there's about 76,000 people that live there. guess what those 76,000 people are able to do? Talk on cell phones.
Watch their TV.
Watch television.
Yeah.
And in fact, scientists will tell you that a magnetic anomaly like this would actually make your cell phones and radios work better because of how, you know, radio transmissions use the Earth's magnetic field to be able to travel over large distances. So the debunkers will say, look, this is not going to mess up your two-way radio or your cell phone. It's going to enhance it, and it's actually going to work better. I can see both ways. I think if it was so strong, it could begin to cause you some issues.
Yeah.
I think if it was just a little bit stronger, then maybe you get a little bit, you know, you get a little bit better reception. You don't drop a call. But again, you're in the middle of the desert. I mean, how many cell phone towers are you going to, you know, encounter if you get far enough away from the populated areas?
Right.
Despite all of this, because of, you know, whether you believe it's an urban legend or not, there are still people that travel down there to get their firsthand experience in the zone of silence. The locals call them Zoneros. You know, these people that just travel there strictly because that's what it is. Now, some people will say, oh, it was a, you know, it's a tourist thing. Listen, these ranchers, they don't want these people down there.
Sure.
I mean, they're not making money off of them. You know, they're more problematic than they are anything because they have, you know, it's private property. You know, they've got miles and miles of fence to keep in their cattle. They've got a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
And here are these clowns coming around, jumping fences or cutting them or opening gates and not closing them, leaving trash places. You know, it's annoying as hell, I can imagine.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, people will point to all of that to go, look, you know, the locals, they only buy into it because all these other clowns come down here and buy into it.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, a rancher may make a few bucks by letting somebody come across his property or maybe pointing out, you know, you give them a few dollars to say, you know, hey, where's the best place for us to go to, you know, get our compass to spin around? And they're going to be like, oh, well, you go right over there. And here, buy this ring, you know, that he has magnetized. So, you know, you wear this ring and then your compass is spinning like a top. You know, it's really hard for me to buy into this. I agree with Adam wholeheartedly that there were a lot of weird events that occurred in this area, and they've mushed all the stories together and they have created one big giant urban legend.
Right.
And whether the locals want it or not, that's just kind of what it's become. But we're interested to know, what do you guys think? You know, we've had a lot of fun with this tonight. And we haven't done one quite like this in a while, where as we got into the research of it, we kind of figured out, yeah, this may not be 100%.
Yeah, we're not known as a debunking show.
Right.
You know, we're a presentation show. We present to you what is out there, compile the quote unquote evidence and the stories and show you and kind of allow you to make your decision. But every now and then, Matt and I will run into a topic that we just can't keep our big mouths shut on, and we have to say what we actually feel.
Yeah, this is kind of like, you know, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's fun because it does have so many stories. You know, it does have some really strange events that have occurred down there. You know, how much they've been blown out of proportion, I don't know. That they have fact checked the whole missile thing. It's legit.
Yeah.
I mean, it really did happen. the U.S. government really did go down there for several weeks to collect all this stuff and did God knows what while they were there. All of that is 100% true. You know, that did happen. Now, how many of these encounters with weird beings, you know, I don't even think we mentioned the giant UFO that was spotted down there. There was a, you know, the gigantic,
yeah, in 19,
did we talk about it?
No, we didn't. The 1976 Caballos city had it was a little before 9 p.m. They saw this giant 300 meter long aircraft with different colored, alternating colored, pulsating lights around it.
Yeah.
And they apparently could hear this deep hum coming from within that craft.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
300 meters, y'all.
Yeah.
300 meters. That is like 3 football fields.
Right. So it's freaking huge.
Think about looking up in the sky and seeing something the size of 3 football fields.
It apparently, they said, affected the town's dogs because the dogs were howling and stuff. So
it's a 3 football field size UFO, and it irritated the dogs.
Right. And we don't have any pictures of it from
none.
From 76, where we had cameras.
The biggest UFO ever. And, you know, it's like, oh, well, nobody's got a camera on them.
Yep. Whoops.
And there's weird lights. You know, ranchers have reported strange lights all around there. Some of them coming up from the ground. When they go out on night rides to check on their herds, you know, they've got stories of seeing these weird, strange lights all around them. You know, like I said, the stories kind of go on and on and on.
And it's like a mesh of so many other things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're almost wading into like the Stardust Ranch.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Stardust Ranch and Marfa Lights and all that other stuff.
Yeah. So it is. It's a huge conglomeration. But what do you guys think? You
know, tell us.
Is this something that's just totally out there that's been blown out of proportion? Or are there some legitimate stories in there that have prompted some exaggeration over the years?
Mm-hmm.
Let us know.
And do that on our Facebook or come to the See Alive show March 7th.
Exactly. Exactly. So March 7th, that's Saturday at 8 p.m., catch us for a little bit of more discussion on this, and you can get in on the action too. We're really looking forward to it. In the meantime, go check us out on social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can just search Graveyard Tales. That's the easiest way to find us. And you can check out our Facebook group where a lot of this kind of discussion goes on. There's some really great people in there.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I mean, every day, there's something new, unusual, strange, funny, whatever it is. And it's a safe place for you to share your strange experiences and sometimes even get some help.
Yeah.
So jump in there. Please go and rate and review us on iTunes. It's the easiest way for us to get up the charts. And that just brings more people into the graveyard. So don't forget to check out our website. It's graveyardpodcast.com. You can listen to the show. You can find links to buy Graveyard Tales merchandise, and you can become a patron. And thank you to everyone who has donated to the show. So until next time, we'll save you a seat in the graveyard.
See you soon.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.